Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Kuf Zion. We're finishing up the seventh parak of the Masechta. Seventh parak, unusually short parak, especially when you consider the size of the other parakim in the Masechta. But the seventh parak is the finishing up the discussion about Mechira, about the sale. We've been discussing sale and transactions for a while. Fourth, fifth, sixth, and now seventh parak of the Masechta, dedicated to the topic of what happens when you sell. And what is what's included in the sale and what's not included in the sale. We are in the middle of a sugya. The sugya started yesterday. We talked yesterday, the Mishnah, about the sale of property. That's what we've been discussing for the most part in the seventh parak of the Masechta. Yesterday, the Mishnah taught us about what happens when I point to a property, I declare it to be a certain size, but I also say, Simanov of a Metzarov. But you see the borders over there, and you see the signposts over there. And as we pointed out yesterday, those are additional languages, and those are coming to include even a larger margin of error. So if you sell a property using such terminology, so it can the property can be either larger or smaller by up to, and we debated yesterday, including, maybe yes, maybe no, but certainly up to a sixth, almost 18%, either larger or smaller than reported, because you use the additional words of Sibanov and Metzarov. The Gemara then went off on a tangent yesterday, and the Rashbam admitted it was a tangent. It really doesn't have much to do with our Mishnah. It dealt with the division of an estate. It's a little bit interesting. It's kind of like a foreshadow. As we are about to start the eighth parak tomorrow morning, Mirz Hashem will start the eighth parak of the Masechta, and that has to do with Yerusha. That has to do with estate law. But yesterday's daf though introduced us a little bit to the topic. Yesterday's daf dealt with the following scenario: you had two brothers who divided an estate based on a gora, based on a lottery. And in of itself, that's interesting. How can you do anything based on lottery, based on chance? But okay, I mentioned yesterday. Somehow it can be done. The Gemara is fine with it. So yeah, two brothers who divided the estate, and they divided the estate by lottery, and then out pops up a third brother out of nowhere. We didn't know he existed. He just kind of showed up. So again, there are issues in terms of him actually proving that he's the third brother, but we're beyond that. In other words, we now know that he's the third brother, and it's just a question now of what do we do with the estate, because the estate was already divided. And so as a brother, he's entitled to a portion. So what are we going to do? So that was a debate yesterday between Rav and Shmuel, exactly what's to be done. Rav says, Batla Machlokas. Rav says, okay, we're going to have to scratch it and do it all over again, meaning we didn't do it right. So we're going to have to do it again. And so Rav says that we're going to take the entire estate that was already divided, pool together in one pool, and then do the division once again. And Shmuel says no. Shmuel says the language of Shmuel was mekamtzen. Mekamtzen means that everyone's going to keep their portion, but everyone's going to give a part of the portion to the third brother. In other words, according to Shmuel, the division is done. It's good. And everyone's just going to have to give up a little bit of theirs. So, as I gave the example yesterday. So, let's say, for example, there were six parcels of land, each of the same size, that were divided amongst the two brothers. That means each brother got three parcels of land. And then out pops up a third brother. So, according to Shmuel, each one of them is just simply going to have to give up one parcel of land. And, yes, it may end up being a little bit unfair for that third brother, as he's getting now two lands that may not be contiguous one with another, but okay. But that, according to Shmuel, though, however, that's how he views the chalukas haaretz, the division of the land. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday. That was yesterday's small deviation from the parak's discussion. As long as we're there, so we're continuing now. We're in Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, for two lines down, Itmar, and now we're going to continue now in this little little tangent of the Gemara. We are on the very top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, Itmar. So yeah, brothers. Now let's say there's two brothers. The Rashbam says the same thing would be true if there were three brothers, but for our purposes right now, let's assume there were two brothers. And along comes a Balchov. So in other words, dad had a creditor, and fortunately dad died, but the creditor still owed his money. And now the creditor is coming, and he's going to take money that's owed to him. And he goes to one of the brothers, and he takes from one of the brothers. Now, it is interesting, the Gemara does not make mention of this point, but it's a really important point, and that is, well, how does he, the creditor, decide which brother to go to? Meaning the brothers had the estate, the brothers divide the estate. Each brother now has 50% of the estate. Again, I'm ignoring Bechor for now.
Okay. Looking at the type of land.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, okay, excellent. So the Gemara doesn't mention in terms of how exactly creditor is going to determine which one to go to. So, and the Rashbam, interestingly enough, does not mention anything about this point. It's an important point. The Tosos, top Tosos on the Amud suggests that maybe one of the lands was designated as an apoteki. So you know that when you borrow money, so all your lands are meshubah, but every property that you own has an encumbrance to the obligation. But what you can do, and probably it's going to help assuage the creditor, is that you could point to a particular property and you could say that this particular property is going to be the means of your collection in the event of a default of a loan. So, and that's what's called an apoteki. And so maybe over here, one of the brothers, as part of the division, got the apoteki estate, and that's why the creditor went after him. That's one possibility. Alex suggests another possibility, which I also saw in researching the daf, and that is that maybe one of the brothers had Beinonis as opposed to the other brother who had Ziboris, and so that's why the creditor went after the brother who got Beinonis, because we know the halach is that when a creditor comes and collects, and he's collecting property, so we learned this back in Gittin, we've said this many times, so the creditor goes after Beinonis property, mid-grade property. So maybe that's the reason why he went after one of the brothers. Okay. It's an important point. Okay, but meanwhile, here's what happened. What happened was there was an estate. The estate was divided amongst the brothers, and out comes a creditor and takes land from one of the brothers. So now what do you do? So Rav Amar Bitla Machlokas. So Rav says, and this is very consistent to what he said yesterday's daf, and that is, okay, now the estate is no longer the estate, meaning clearly when we divided the estate, we assumed that the estate was X. But that's not true. It's X minus Y. Meaning, whatever the creditor take was obviously not part of the estate. So Rav says, so we're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to put whatever's remaining in the estate back in the pool and redivide and redistribute. That's Shitas Rav. Which, quite frankly, makes a lot of sense. Okay. Shmuel Amar Viter. Now Shmuel says, no, Viter. Meaning it's too bad. Right. Best way to describe it. Right. Too bad. Right. It's unfortunate, isn't it? That one of the brothers got his property taken away, and he happened to have had the property, according to Tosos, the apoteki property. And quite frankly, I'm sure he knew that at the time of the division. But whatever. In other words, whatever the case is, it's unfortunate. And he lost the property, and the other brothers get to keep their property, or in this case, the other brother gets to keep his property. And okay. And that's Shmuel Shita. And we're going to explain it much better in just a moment. And Ravasi Amar Noto Raviya Bakarka Raviya Bemos. And Ravasi says either the brother who was not, did not have his property taken away from him, is going to be paying not give half of his property to his brother, but a quarter of his property or a quarter of his money over to his brother. And in a moment, I'm going to explain Ravasi a lot better. Okay? But right now we have three shitas amongst the Amorim in terms of what to do where. You had an estate, the estate was divided, along comes a creditor, takes away the property from one of the brothers, and so let's just assume right now it's two. It's nice and simple. So he takes the estate from one of the brothers. So are we going to have to re-pool and redivide the estate? So that's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says yes. Shmuel says no. Rav Asi has some sort of compromise position in the middle, which I'll better explain in just a moment. Okay, now let's go over shita by shita. How does every one of these positions work out? Rav Amar Batla machlokes. So the Gemara now touches on a fundamental issue, and we're going to hear this again and again throughout the eighth parak of the Masechta. It's good we're hearing it now. It's kind of like a preview. Rav says that when we look at brothers dividing the estate, how do we view them? So we view them as Yorshin. The people who inherit. Now, seems to be a pretty obvious point, but it's not so obvious, and it's really it's a critical point. It's really one of the underpinning points about how to view an estate. And the division of an estate. And we're going to read the Rashbam. The Rashbam over here, super critical in terms of understanding what's going on right now. Does it matter when he comes? We're discussing right now where he comes after the division. In other words, if he came before the division of the estate, it makes the whole discussion a lot easier.
How much after?
I don't know if that's going to make any difference. I don't know. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashbam together. The Rashbam here, really important. Rashbam writes, Yerushim Havu. Rashbam is in the mid-wide lines, third line down. Yerushim Havu. Toras Yerushim Yesh Aleihem. Meaning that we view them as Yerushim. Toras Yerushim. Meaning it's a category. And that is Lifra Ben Kulan Chovas Aviyim. Meaning even after they divided the estate, that estate is still considered an estate. It's not theirs now. It's still the estate's. And that means now when a creditor comes, then he comes and takes from one of them. Well, according to Rav, it's one for all and all for one. Meaning even after the division, we are still part of the estate. Just because we divided it doesn't mean that everyone now is carefree and doesn't have to worry about the creditor if they're not the one who is being attacked by the creditor. And Rashbam introduces the following idea over here. You know what this is connected to, says the Rashbam? It's connected to the idea of Breira. The idea of Breira is Huvra Hadavar Shezachu Kolecha Bechelka Roilo. Meaning that even after we divided the estate, that doesn't mean that we did anything significant. All it means is that the portion that I received is a portion that was destined to come to me. This is the part that's mine. And it was always mine. Now, I didn't know this at the time of the death of Dad, but now that I have it, Hovra Hadava Lamafreya, retroactively, this is the estate that belonged to me at the time. By employing the idea of Brera, that means then that even though the land was divided, it's still part and parcel of the estate. V'nimsa d'lalachu zemizeklum. Now, did we barter with one another? No. Meaning, yes, we had to negotiate who was going to get what, but even after we negotiated it, it's still, this is part of the estate. And the Rashbam points out, this is going to have another application in Halacha, and that is what happens in the Yovel year. Well, you know what happens in the Yovel year, everything returns back to its original source. Well, if you view the Chalukas HaYerusha as Breira, it did return back to its original source, meaning just because I'm holding on to now my portion of the estate doesn't mean now that it's no longer the estate. It is still the estate. And therefore, according to Rav, when we get to Yovel, you don't have to do anything because it is in its original position. So now, since it's part and parcel of the estate, and now what happens is along comes a creditor and takes a portion. So again, according to Rav, it's one for all and all for one. We're still all part of the estate. So when he comes and he takes when the creditor comes and takes his portion, so now what do we have to do? We have to redistribute because it's still all part of the estate. Okay, that is Shitas Rav. Now we turn to Shmuel, back to the Gemara. Shmuel Amar Viter. So according to Shmuel, how do we view brothers who divide an estate? They are lekuchos, they are like buying from one another. It's a transaction. And we're going to go one step further. And that is, not only do they buy from one another, but more than that, no recourse. I get my portion, you get your portion, and we are done with one another. And in the event that for whatever reason your portion is taken away from you, don't come to me. Don't turn to me because we have now divided the estate. We are now considered, each one of us, as we are owners of the portion that we now have. And furthermore, no recourse. Something happens to your portion, you don't come to me. The Rashbam writes on this as well. We're reading the Rashbam here as well. Kalukuchos Dami. The Rashbam writes, De Ein Breira. So you knew the Rashbam was going to say this, meaning if Rav is on the side of Yesh Breira, so now Shmuel is going to be on the side of Ein Breira. V'nimsa shekol echa nato chelek achav u'ki'ilu hechlifu zeh b'chelko shazeh dami. This is really now considered a barter. I'm getting this portion in exchange for you getting that portion. And we don't subscribe to the idea of Breira. And this is not something where, oh, okay, now retroactively, this is clear that this is really what was meant for me from the very beginning. No, this was not meant for me from the beginning. I'm just simply now negotiating what I'm going to get. V'hainu l'kuchos. And it's really like a person making a transaction. It's like I bought it. The kevin de lekuchos nina havad deklokech shalav b'achrayes dami. Kilo amrizela zeh eini mekabel achrayes chalkecha alai. Dami. The mistama lo mekable. Now, the Rashbam says, and furthermore, and the Gemara said this, the Rashbam is not not making a chiddush over here. And furthermore, not only did I buy this from you, but with no recourse. In the event that something happens to your end, that's your problem, and don't come to me. So now the Rashi notes, you know, it's funny, because generally speaking, in a regular sale of land, so we assume that there's recourse. If I'm selling you land, we generally assume that in the event that, let's say, I have a creditor coming and taking the land away from you, so you can come to me and demand a refund from me for the sale of the land. And furthermore, we'll go one step further. Not only do we normally assume recourse, but we normally assume recourse even if that's not written into the document. Meaning we say that Achrayus is Tau Sofer. That if, for whatever reason, the scribe, when writing up, when drafting the document of the sale, didn't include Achrayus in the sale of property, we assume that there was Achrayus. And therefore, even if it's not written in the document, you still can come back out to me and say to me, look, one of your creditors took the land away from me. I want a reimbursement. And he's going to get a reimbursement. So the Rashi notes, it's a little bit strange. Brothers dividing estate, we're going the other way. We're assuming there's no recourse. And meanwhile, in a regular sale, we assume there is a recourse. But the Rashi notes that they're different. So the Rashi says, yeah, that's right. But you know why? It's very simple. Because when you're buying property, so that means that there is property exchange for money. I'm paying for the property. Do you think I like throwing away my money? Of course not. Meaning, if I'm paying you for that property, there's an understanding that either I'm getting the property, which is clearly why I'm giving you the money, or for whatever reason, if I don't get the property, I'm going to get a reimbursement. People don't throw their money away. But here we're talking about the inheritance of an estate. So you see here, it's a windfall. Meaning, I'm getting property. You're getting property. I'm not paying money for this property. It's just simply the nature of inheriting an estate. And you know what? Let's all agree. Meaning, you're not coming after me if for whatever reason your property is taken away, and I'm not going to come after you. And there is a general understanding that there's not going to be any recourse in the division of an estate. Okay. So a really important Rashbam in both explaining Shita's Rav and Shita Shmuel regarding what would happen now if a creditor would come and take the property away from one of the two. So what do we have so far? Shita of Rav is a redistribution of the estate. Why? Because we are considered all inheritors of the estate. Even after the division, it's still considered the estate. It's one for all and all for one. And therefore, if one of the properties is taken away, so we're going to just simply redistribute whatever's remaining. Shmuel says no. Shmuel says is that when we divide the estate, it's no longer considered an estate. In fact, we are considered lekuchas. We bought from one another. And we bought with no recourse from one another. And the Rashbam also ties in this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel to the machlokas of whether or not you subscribe to Brera or you not subscribe to Brera. Rav says you do subscribe, and Shmuel says you do not subscribe to Brera. And
there's a crucial thing that if they were aware of this creditor before the division of state or after. If it's before, then he took responsibility. It's after. It's not his fault that he didn't know.
It may not be his fault, but it's right. Like we said earlier, according to
which situation are we talking about? That they knew in advance, so it's his responsibility.
Well,
so if they don't know in advance.
What you're saying is a very good point. I'll tell you what, later on, right, spoiler alert, later on we're going to say the halacha falls like Rav, so the truth of the matter is that we're going to end up redistributing. So it's interesting that we're going to end up following like Rav on all this, but okay, so it doesn't take anything away from your point, just simply that the halacha anyway is that we're going to redivide. Okay, now back to the Gemara. Rav Asi misafke le'yirshin havi lekuchos havi. Now, as far as Rav Asi is concerned, so what is Rav Asi's contention? I don't know. Meaning, I don't know if we fall like Rav or we fall like Shmuel. Hilkach noto revia b'karka v'revia b'maus. And therefore, since I don't know, so where do we stand right now? We're in a world of suffik. Meaning, if we fall like Rav, what are we going to do? We're going to redistribute. If we fall like Shmuel, what are we going to do? Nothing. Meaning the one whose property is taken away is taken away, and the other brother gets to keep his property, and that's it. So, the brother who kept his property, does he need to now give up half of his property to his brother, or does he get to keep the whole thing? So Rav says he's got to give up half. Shmuel says he gets to keep the whole thing. What Rav Asi is saying is, I don't know, and therefore I don't know means we'll split the difference. Which means that instead of the brother giving half the property to his brother, he'll give a quarter of his of the property to his brother. Now, the way to read Rav Asi, this is important, and the Rashba makes a big deal about this. The way to read Rav Asi is, no, it's a revia bakarka. Now, I know it's a vav, but you're going to have to read it, o revia b'maos. Either a quarter of it in property or a quarter of it in money. Meaning that the brother who has kept his property doesn't have to give up his actual property. He could just simply do an appraisal and pay for the value of half of his property. But according to Rav Asi, not half, but rather that of a quarter. Okay. There are now the Rashbam notes there's another way to read Rav Asi, and I encourage you to look at the Rashbam inside. The Rashbam does not like it, even though the Rashbam admits it's none other than his grandfather. His grandfather Rashi had a different way to read the Gemara, but the Rashbam is insistent that the way I just explained it is the way that the Rashbam prefers to explain the Gemara.
Why is the third brother who's
let's assume two brothers right now. Just two brothers.
Oh, two brothers.
Yeah. So, and the creditor took away the property from one.
Yeah, but he gets to keep three quarters, and he only is going to get quarter or half.
No, let's assume again. Just ignore Bechor right now. In other words, the estate was divided. Each brother getting half the estate.
Okay.
And now comes the creditor and takes from one of the two.
Right. So he has to give him a quarter, a revia.
Right.
So he's left with three quarters.
Right.
And the other brother only gets a quarter.
Right. That's right.
So he's losing.
Correct. In other words, well, keep this in mind. According to Rav, he would lose nothing. According to Shmuel, he would lose everything. So we're so Rav Asi's in the middle. That's correct.
No, it's a revia of, not of what he has, a revia of the original.
A revia of?
The original state.
A revia of the original state.
Which means it's a 50-50 again.
No. Right. So, again, I'm telling you, the Rashbam quotes his grandfather who likes that, but the Rashbam himself does not like that. The Rashbam himself says, no, he's only going to have to give up a quarter of whatever he has. In other words, and not half of what he has.
This is like a suffix
exactly. In other words, he doesn't know whether he falls like Rav or whether like or falls like Shmuel, and therefore he only has to give up half of what he has, a quarter. Amar Rav Papa Hilchasa B'chol Nishmaitata Mekamtzen. So now, as far as the halacha is concerned, so the Amoraim weigh in. So Rav Papa says that on the previous debate, meaning what we learned yesterday, where there were two brothers and then they divided the estate, and then out pops a third brother, not from Am, but from left field. Out pops a third brother, and so that third brother is going to receive what? So again, yesterday's daf, Rav says the third brother is going to, they're going to have to redistribute everything. Shmuel says no, every brother is going to have to give a portion commensurate to what the third brother is supposed to receive. And so Rav Papa says we fall like Shmuel. Ameimar amar bat lamachlokas v'ilchus abat lamachlokas. Ameimar says that no, that the estate is going to be redistributed. And the Gemara concludes the estate is going to be redistributed like Rav. And Shmuel and the Rashbam points out over here that this ruling of the Gemara applies to both yesterday's daf and today's daf. Meaning, in the case of yesterday, where a third brother comes after the distribution of the property, the distribution of the estate. And so according to Rav, we're going to have to put everything back into the pool again and redistribute. That was yesterday's daf, and the Rashbam says what the Gemara is concluding is today's daf as well. Meaning, in the event that the estate was divided, and a creditor comes and takes from one of the brothers, so now we're going to take whatever's remaining, put it back into the pool, and redivide and redistribute. Yes, now meaning normally you're right, and this is an exception. This is a notable exception, and the Rashbam points out over here. That what you see from the Gemara over here, on the fundamental question of how do we view people who are dividing estate? Do we view them as Yorshim or do we view them as Lekuchos? By virtue of the Gemara, the fact that the Gemara just concluded like Rav, so that means that when you have brothers dividing an estate, so the way to view them halachically is like Yorshim, not like Lekuchos. So the Rashbam says that is a very basic conclusion that comes out from this entire discussion. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. We're still going to be in a bit of a tangent until we get to the next Mishnah on the Amud Beis. Shlosha Shiyar Dulashom. There are three judges who were coming and appraising a property. The Rashbam points out over here is that it's Nechse Yisomim, meaning it's the estate of orphans. And why would we appraise a property? Remember, we have a general rule, which is we do not touch the property of orphans under most any circumstances, but of course, emphasis on the word most. Most any circumstances, we won't touch their property. But the Rashbam writes over here, Nechse Yisomim, Lamazan Aisha Vabanos, let's say that the estate has to support people. The estate has a widow to support. The estate has daughters to support. So obviously that support can't wait. That support is needed right now. So we're going to have to sell off properties. And we're only going to be selling off properties based on the appraisal done by Dayanim. Vein shumas based in pachas migimel. And when you're doing an appraisal, so it's now less than three. And what the Gemara now is going to treat us to is an extraordinarily technical discussion of how exactly the appraisal is going to be done by the judges. Super technical discussion. It's actually a lot of, I mean, if you like math and you like statistics, it's a lot of fun. If you don't, so come back in about 15 minutes. Tana Rabbanan. Shloshesh Yar D'Lashom Echad Omer B'mana. So of the three judges now we're appraising the property, so not everyone's appraisal is going to be exactly the same. And so the judges are now in disagreement exactly what the property is worth. This particular property that we're ready to sell off. So Echad Omer B'mana, Shlaim Omer B'masayim. So right now you have a split amongst the judges, 2 versus 1, where either 2 say it's 100 or 2 say it's 200. So, as a general rule by Dayanus, when you have a Beis Din, so you follow the majority. If the majority are saying 100, it's 100. If the majority is saying 200, it's 200. That one's easy. We move on. One says 100. Now, don't get fooled by these numbers. I did. Don't get fooled by these numbers. These numbers are not 120 and 30. I'm thinking to myself, what a range. Like, what's going on with these judges? Okay, but I got a little bit fooled by these numbers. 20 is really 80. In other words, when the Gemara is saying Esrim, the Gemara means Esrim Salaim, which multiplied by 4, so that's 20 times 4, that's 80. And 30 is not 30. 30 is 30 Salaim, 30 times 4 is 120. So now you have three opinions amongst the judges in terms of what the value of this particular property are, and the opinion of the judges are in order of succession going from bottom to top, 80, 100, 120. So what do you do? Nidon b'mana. So what you do is a three-way machlokus amongst the amongst the Tanaim in terms of what you do. The first opinion of the Tanakama is probably the one you would have guessed, and that is Nidon b'mana. Well, if one says 80 and the other says 100 and the other says 120, so then you're going to go with the middle position. Okay, a little statistics, if you will, for this morning. So that is the Gemara now favoring the average, or is the Gemara favoring the median? Okay, so it happens to be that the example that the Gemara provides for us doesn't tell us. Meaning, it happens to be that the medium and the average in this particular case is the same. So, we really don't know from the Gemara. I do know, however, from the Rashbam. So, Tidon b'mana. Just wait a little bit. I'm going to quote the Rashbam in just a moment, where the Rashbam is going to tell us whether the Gemara here is favoring the average or the Gemara is favoring the median. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Nidon b'tishin. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok says, again, the range of opinions amongst these judges are 80, 100, 120. So according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, so we're going to now assess the value of this property at 90, which is obviously the difference between the average between 80 and 100. He's ignoring the opinion of 120 for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. And Acherim Omrim Osim Shuma Beinayim HaMashashlan. And the Acherim say, here's the formula you're going to do. It's a very interesting formula. And that is basically what we're going to do is we're going to take the range. The range now between the highest and the lowest is 80 to 120, which is 40. We're going to take that and divide that by the number of judges there are, and that's of course 3. So it's 40 divided by 3, so it's 13 and a third. So basically now, 13 and a third, and we're going to add that to the low end of the range. So now it comes out to 93 and a third. And that's the formula we're going to use that accounts for all three positions, but at the same time also still is not going to go to the middle of those two positions, but it's still going to be anchored by the lowest position. Okay, now, the Gemara assesses all three opinions in terms of what we do in a scenario of you have three judges appraising a property. The numbers of their opinions are 80, 100, 120. So again, so the Gemara says very succinctly that if you're following the opinion of the Tanakhama, what you're basically doing is you're looking at the middle. Meaning of the three opinions of the judges, 80, 100, 120, 100 is obviously the middle. Now I'll re-ask the question again, but now I have the Rashbam to answer my question. So is the Gemara favoring over here an average, or is the Gemara favoring over here a medium? Median. The Rashbam writes on the bottom. Milsa Mitziyasa, it's the last Rashbam in the Amud. Davar Shava Hechre Ben Shneim, Hosif Hei Al Amamit. Yeah. Hosif Hei Al Amamit, Upochis Chamisha Men Amarbe, Vidin Hu, the Tidon Kavasei, Bimana, the Hatavai Shal Shloshim Vishalmana, Moda de Shavamana. Vinir Ben, Benai, Duadin Im Amar Bechav Chesalayim. And Rashbam says, let's say the middle position was not 25 salim, which is 100, but let's say the middle position was 28. So let me do this in just in terms of salim, so it makes it easier to hear. So it's either one opinion was 20, the other one was 28, and the other one's 30. Now, so the Rashbam says, I think my opinion would be that we would follow 28. Clearly, what the Rashbam is telling us is that we're not looking at really the average, we're really looking at the median. Meaning, whatever is that middle position, is that the one, that's the one we're going to take, because it is central, again, not average from an average standpoint, but from a median standpoint, it's central to the one, to the two extremes. So in a scenario of 20, 28, 30, the Rashbam says we'll go with 28, not with 25. Okay. The Rambam, the Rambam who favors this opinion of looking at the middle, so he does side with the Tanakhama that we look at the middle, and it sounds like from the wording of the Rambam, I don't have a Rambam in front of me right now, but it sounds like from the wording of the Rambam that it is actually an average, not a median. Okay. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. The Gemara now is going to explicate the next two opinions. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzedek, Omer, Nidam, Betishan. Okay. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzedek says that if you have a range of positions amongst the judges of, I'm going to do it now in dinarim, 80, 100, 120, so it's going to come out to 90. Why? Kasava ha'ara tishin shava. Because the real market value is 90. Now, if that's true, so where are these judges? V'hai dekamer esrim dekatai asar lachare. So the one who says 80 obviously erred, but he erred 10 below what its actual value is.
How much
he
earned?
Wait just 1 second. I hear you. And the one who said 100, so he aired 10, but he aired 10 above. Okay. So, so basically what the Gemara now is arguing is that of the two judges, one who said 80 and one who said 100, basically were within the ballpark of 90. Each one aired just 10 away. Now, of course, what the Gemara did in this explanation is obviously disregard, totally ignore the opinion of 120. And let's consider the following over here. Meaning, where do we want to be in the terms of this appraisal? Obviously, we would like to be at a higher number. Meaning, consider, what are we appraising? The property of orphans in order to pay the support that they need to pay. But keep in mind, however, that for all the properties that we're selling off, that means less property for the orphans. When you take that into consideration, quite frankly, you don't want to be on the low end of the appraisal. You really want to be on the high end of the appraisal if what our goal is to advocate on behalf of the orphans. And now the Gemara points out, basically, this very point. The Gemara doesn't say it the way I'm saying it, but you hear that in the word Adarab. The Gemara says just the opposite. Hayara Mayav Esrim Shavya. I'm sorry, Mayav Asara Shavya. why don't we say that the real market value of this property is 110? And just simply focus on the judges who say 100 and 120, each one of them only being 10 away from its real market value. Meaning, why are we disregarding the 120's position when we can really disregard the 80 and just focus on 100 and 120 and say that the real market value is 110? So the Gemara says, "Nekot miatre kama biadecha." No, take the first two opinions. Meaning, first take the 80 and then take the 100. Why? Dimitaris mana lamafkile. Because they are not leaving the 100. Which, effectively, what the Gemara is saying is, and this is the way the Rashi explains it, we have a general rule throughout Shas, and that is tafasta meru below tafasta. Tafasta mua tafasta. Meaning, look, we obviously have a lot of numbers to choose from. The higher you go, the more disagreement there, the more you're at risk of really missing the boat. Meaning, when you're conservative, lowercase c, when you're conservative, so more people are going to be in agreement with that number. So let's take a look at the person who said 80. They all agree that the property is at least worth 80. Let's go at the person who said 100. Two of the three judges are in agreement that the property is at least 100. And now, well, you're at 120, so he's really on an island. Meaning, nobody's in agreement with him. So, if we have to choose two, and we're splitting the difference between two of the three opinions, let's choose the two that more people are in agreement with, rather than less people are in agreement with. Okay, yes.
Why are we using judges to appraise property value? Aren't there people who are experts in...
The assumption the Gemara is making is that the judges deal with monetary law. I mean, they deal with monetary cases all day. So they should have a good idea of what market value is.
You can flip this and go negative. Say two out of three agree that it's not 80 and it's more than 80.
Okay, but of those two, one of those two is on an island. One of those two, no, but nobody's in agreement with him.
But I mean, it'd be totally reverse of what you're saying. It could be two agree it's more than 80, and then the question is how much it's going to be between...
Yeah, but the one who says 80, the other two judges are in agreement that it's at least worth 80. And of the one who said 100, so two of the three judges are in agreement that it's at least worth 100. You can't say that about the 120.
No, but...
Well, right. I mean, I do hear your point, meaning the one who says 100 is not agreeing with 80, but he is in agreement that it's at least worth 80. Okay. Again, I'm just explaining the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara clearly is favoring that argument. Acherim omrim osim shuma b'nehem. Umishashlin, umishashlin. And then there was the third opinion of the Brisa, which is, again, you take the range, which is from 80 to 120, which is 40. You divide it by the number of judges, which is 3, and that gets you to 13 and a third. Now, and you anchor that to the bottom number, so it's 80 plus 13 and a third, so that's 93 and a third. So the Gemara says, Kasavri, hai ara tishim v'tasla tilsa. So again, so that position will go like this. The real market value of the land is 93 and a third. And Shavya Hai Dekamar Esrim Katai Tlesa Vatilsa Lachare. And the one who said 80, so he missed it by 13 and a third. Vahai Dekamar Mana Katai Tlesa Vatilsa Lachame. Now, as far as the one who said 100, so where is he? Really in limbo. Because, again, the real market value we're arguing now is 93 and a third. And each one is off by 13 and a third. Well, that's true by the guy who said 80, but that's not true by the guy who said 100. In fact, if he was off by 13 and a third, Uvedinu Dilema Tfei, really admits the Gemara, he wanted to say more. Vahai Delo Ka'amar, how much more did he want to say? Meaning, if the real value is 93 and a third, and he was off by 13 and a third, so really what he wanted to say was 106 and two thirds. But what happens is, he wanted to say that, but... the Vahai Delo Ka'amar Savar Mistai Dekamitifna Kulehai Achevre. This happens all the time. In other words, when somebody offers a number, so when you now say what you originally wanted to say, you're so far away from what he said. Meaning, look at my other judge. My other judge said 80. I was really thinking 106. Oh, but that's crazy. 106 is so far away from 80. So you know what? No, I'll scale back a little bit. I'll say 100. and not what I really wanted to say. But what he really wanted to say was 106 2/3. Okay, so now again, the Gemara is going to be bothered by exactly the same point that we were bothered previously. Meaning, even in this mathematical formula, we are ignoring the one who said 120. And the Gemara notes exactly this point. Adrabba ha'ara may vatilsa vatilsa shavya. Really, the land is at 113 1/3. Ha'idakam ramana katai tlesa vatilsa lachare. So the one who said 100 was off by 13 1/3, and the one who said 120, he was also off by 13 1/3. Now he's not off by 13 1/3. Really, v'dinu dekamer tfei. Really, he wanted to say higher than 120, but savra misai dekamer tifne kulehai achavre. But again, once he heard his friend saying 100, and so he didn't want to go higher, you know, that much dramatically higher. So he stopped at 120. But still, in other words, basically, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that we're looking at the 80 and 100. Why are we more focused on the 100 120? And again, the Gemara's answer is the same. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're not going to do that because, once again, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Meaning, if our choices are of 80, 100, 120, you know you're in safer territory when you stay with the smaller numbers. Okay. Am Rav Huna halacha ka'acherim. So Rav Huna says that's the halacha. Meaning, the halacha follows like that third opinion, which is that you take the range, you divide it by 3, and you take that number and add it to the bottom number. So Am Rav Ashi, time of the achirim lo yadinan. Hilchzav dina kavaseo. And Rav Ashi very dismissively says, I don't understand their position. And now you want me to tell you, now you want to tell me that the halacha follows like that opinion? Rav Ashi didn't want to hear from it. Tanu Dayane Gola Osim Shuma Beinema Mishashlin. So Dayane Gola, the judges of the exile, which is usually code for Shmuel and Karna. So they say we follow like this opinion, which is again, take the range, divide it by 3, and add that to the bottom number. So Am Rav Huna, Hilchzeka Dayane Gola. I'm sorry. Am Rav Huna, Hilchzeka Dayane Gola. And Rav Huna says that's Alacha. And again, Am Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi once again is dismissive. Time of Dayane Gola Yadin and Hilchzeka. I don't understand their position. I don't get how that is the accepted opinion. It doesn't speak to me. And you want to tell me that that's in fact the halacha? So Rav Ashi is very dismissive. It's interesting because Rav Ashi doesn't tell us who we favor. Meaning there still are two other opinions. But as I pointed out, the Rambam follows like the opinion of the Tanakhama, which is again you go to the middle. And again, the middle could mean one of two things. It can either mean the average or it can mean the median. But you go to the middle. Okay. Who are they? I don't know. Sometimes the Gemara tells us that's Rav Meir, but over here that I just don't know. Okay. Ha'omer l'chaveiro chasi sadei nimochelach. One last case in the seventh parak of Baba Basra, dealing with the sale of land, where one says to another, I'm going to sell you half my property. Now, Mishamnim Beinayim Venoto Chatzis Adel. So there is some sort of appraisal, and you take half the field. So once again, you do an appraisal and you sell the property in the south. And accepted in the sale is the fence, the canal, and the son of the canal. The canal is going to be a 6 tvachim, and the ben charitz is going to be 3 tvachim. Okay. A lot of questions to ask in this Mishnah. Quite frankly, what is going on over here in this Mishnah? Meaning, I understand the basic idea of selling half the property. What the question we're going to deal with is, what kind of shum are we talking about? What is this appraisal in which we're making reference to? So we'll start the Gemara today. Amar b'chia bar'aba, Amar v'yochan lokech notel, kachush shabo. So the lokech is going to get the kachush shabo, the weaker of the two. What does that mean? Let's take a look at the Rashbam together. Yel lokech al tachtona. That as far as the lokech is concerned, he's got the lower hand. Again, it was a very loose contract. The contract stated, I'm selling you half my property. So, the lokech clearly was not that specific about which half he wanted, and it was a very loose contract, and so therefore, he has the lower hand. He meaning the lokech, the buyer. So as far as the seller now is concerned, being that the only detail in the contract was that he has to give up half. Which half? Hagaruah shebo, the inferior. The Dilma Demei Chatzi Asad Amar Lo Fiachach Notel Menachachosh Yoser Menachatzi Kidei Demei Chatzi Asad Dekem Afarish Lakame. Vahainu Ravcha Democher Derotza Adam Bekav Edis Yoser Mishnei Kav Zeboris. Meaning what we're going to do is as follows. In other words, we're dividing the land in half. Not physically in half, but from an appraisal standpoint. Meaning that clearly the land has a value. And if, let's say, there are two halves of the land, one half being Edis, the other half being Ziboris, so the Edis land is going to be smaller in size, but greater in value. The Ziboris is going to be larger in size, but less in value. And a person would much rather have grade A property, even though it's a smaller amount. Okay. In other words, you'd rather have Boardwalk and Park Place rather than three of the properties on the first... right. Thank you. three of the properties in the first row. Okay. Forgiveness for that example, but for those who understand it, you really like it. Okay. So that is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Back to the Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan v'hanan mishamnin b'neim tanan. So he says. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says mishamnin b'neihem, that we're going to do some sort of shuma. Amalei ad achalta kafnayasa bebavel targivna misefna. So Rav Yochanan comes back at him very sharp. I'm not sure if Rav Yochanan is the one who's responding or is it Rav Chiya bar Abba. No. It's Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's responding. Rav Yochanan says, you know, you were eating dates out there in Bavel, and, it's a pretty sharp response. Basically, you didn't spend enough time learning the Mishnah, and analyzing it. And meanwhile, I'm telling you my pshat is correct. Look at the end of the Mishnah. Diktani Seifa Chasya Bedarom Ani Mochalach Mishamnim B'nei Menotah Chasya Bedarom. So, if we say that I'm going to sell you the southern half, so then we do a shuma. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. If we're talking about the southern field, so why are we doing an appraisal? Isn't it clear? Ella lidemei hachanami lidemei. So clearly over here when we said half, we meant half in terms of an appraisal. We never meant the physical half, we just simply meant from an appraisal standpoint. So too in the first half of the Mishnah, when the only detail is I'm selling you half my property, we meant it in terms of not half physically, but half in terms of an appraisal. And therefore, it allows the seller the opportunity to appraise his property, segregate the Edis from the either Beinus or Ziboris, and keep half of the property from a value standpoint towards him, even though it represents a smaller land, but it's half in its value. So Rav Yochanan says that is the correct pshat in the Mishnah. Okay, well tomorrow morning, Mirtzei Hashem, will finish off the seventh parak. We'll start the new parak of the Masechta. Have a great day.